Glory to God. He is so good. Isn't he good? Praise God. Why don't you turn over to Romans? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. It says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice that. Yes. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, we've talked about this for a couple weeks. Let's go back to verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How much condemnation? None. None. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's so much here. Just trust in God to bring out what we need to bring out this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to skip down to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice these all go together. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the part I want to focus on this morning. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And this goes right along with everything we just read, that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Notice what it said, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're going to be tempted, if you're breathing, if you live in this world, to feel. You're going to feel, it's going to come on you, you're going to be tempted to be condemned or to feel condemnation when you're in this world. The enemy will make sure of that. It's what we do with it when it comes. And we need to know what the Word of God says. And we need to know how to apply it and how to walk in it. Otherwise, the enemy will beat your brains out with this. Because you're not going to walk perfectly in this earth. There are going to be, and even if your work, you actually are doing a pretty good job, it doesn't matter, the devil's a liar. So he's still, you know, you could be better, doing better than you ever did in a certain area, and he will still come to you and tell you, you sorry, low down, rotten person, you're never going to make it. And if you compared yourself with where you were 5 years ago, There's no comparison. So it doesn't matter. You can, if you buy the lie, well, if I got so far, then I wouldn't feel it anymore. No, whether you feel condemnation or not depends on how you react to it when it tries to come. It does not matter how well you're doing because, like I just said, you could be doing better than you ever have, and if you'll yield to it, you'll feel condemnation. You'll experience it. Now, what do we talk about? We've said this several times. Condemnation is this. Now listen, just listen. There's a lot here, but just let your heart receive it. I've read this to the people who have been here. You've heard it a couple times, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Don't try to write all this down. Get the recording and write it down if you want. Condemn means to say in a strong and definite way that someone or something is bad or wrong. If you condemn something, you're saying that's wrong. That's bad. It means to give someone an unusually severe punishment. It means to cause someone to suffer or live in difficult or unpleasant conditions. It also means to declare reprehensible, wrong, or evil. It means to pronounce guilty, to sentence or doom, to judge unfit for use or consumption. Like if you condemn an old building. Now, we've read a couple of these synonyms just to paint a real picture. Because we said we should have how much condemnation if we're in Christ? None. So we're painting a picture of what we should be avoiding, what we should not have. All right? Let your heart just receive this. God gave us an imagination for a reason. God, when we hear these words, we get a clear picture of what we're avoiding, what we're pushing off, what we're resisting. Some synonyms are censure, damn, decry, denounce, reprehend, reprobate. Related words, attack, blame, criticize, fault, knock, slam, belittle, disparage, doom, convict. Now, note, when you're thinking of this, the enemy is going to try to do this to you. So think about that. This is the picture he wants you to have of yourself. So this is the type of thing he's going to bring against you. To convict, blacklist, excommunicate, castigate, chastise, rebuke, reprimand, reproach, admonish, chide, reprove, berate, scold, curse, abominate, detest, hate, loathe, revile. You know the enemy hates you if you're a Christian? He hates you. Why? Because you're of God and he hates God. Make no mistake. He hates God and he, the enemy, the devil, is wicked. Not even a little bit. Anything you've ever seen on TV or heard about in the newspaper is just a sliver of how wicked he is.
Yeah, that's right.
The worst thing, most unjust thing that you could think of is nothing compared to the fullness of how wicked he is. He's evil. And he hates God. And that means he hates you. When he sees you, he sees God in you. And so he wants you to feel like these words. He wants to bring this against you because if he can do that, you're crippled.
That's right.
He can't stop God in you. He can't stop us if we're yielding to God.
Right.
So what's he going to do? Try to get you to stop yourself by believing his lies and believe that you're nothing and you can't do anything and that he can dominate you. And then you take yourself out. This is a big strategy. It's a huge strategy. He doesn't have to deal with you. He can't. That's a coward. But he is a coward. He can't take us head on. Don't ever believe lies that he's so big and bad. If he can take you out anytime he wants, why didn't he already do it? Why'd you live at all? Why didn't he just, I mean, from conception, why didn't you just die in your mother's womb? Why are you still around? If he's so big and bad, why didn't he take you out? Because God is much bigger than the enemy. The devil can only do what he's given opportunity to do. And so what is he going to try to get you to do? Open the door wide for him? Agree with this junk? That you can't do anything? That you're just washed up anyway, so you might as well just say it? You might as well just agree with it, so you open the door wide to him and he can come in and do what he wants to do? But if you don't open the door to him, he can do nothing.
Right.
If you tell him to go and you're submitted to God,
right.
He can't do anything.
Right.
So what's he going to try to get you to do? Give in to him? If somebody's trying to assail, let's say you had a fortress. Now, maybe you do have a fortress. I don't know. I don't have a fortress. Let's say you had one, and it was just fortified. No way anybody of normal armament, let alone, except like maybe a small country, could come in and get through your door. Now, that no way. They can't take you on. But if you open the door for them, I don't care how many weapons you have, and I don't care what the caliber is of the bullets, I don't care how many bombs you have, if you just open the door wide and don't shoot anything, and just, you know, have double doors in the front, just open them, and say, come on in, they can ransack you in minutes.
That's right?
Now, you couldn't say you didn't have the ammo. You couldn't say you didn't have the ability, but you invited them in. You say, why would anybody be that stupid? Good question. One reason is because they're deceived. You ever heard of the Trojan horse? Why would anybody do that? Because they're tricked. The enemy is a liar. So when he starts giving you a bag of goods, he's trying to get you to buy the very thing that will let him in to destroy your life. But because he knows if you take him head on, he can't do anything because he's dealing with God Almighty.
Amen.
The greater one's inside of us.
Amen.
If you take him, you hold him in the arena of faith, he can do nothing. But if he can get you in the arena of reason, which is some of this, then he can destroy you. It's very simple and straightforward, but he's a deceiver, so it doesn't sound quite like I just said it. It's subtle. And he knows you, and you know you. So, you know, in a group like this, it's like, yeah, there's no way. But when he comes to you, it's with knowledge of where you've failed, your weaknesses, and whatever, and see, this is where he presses on you to get you to admit you don't really deserve. You don't really deserve to use any of that weaponry. You might as well let me in. Even though you could just knock him, blow him out of the way. What's he going to? He's trying. He'll lie to you and he'll push on your weak points if you let him. That's why it's imperative that we know the word and know how to come against that. And to recognize when he's trying to run an attack. Because it looks the same a lot. Now let me go and read some more of this. So we read all these related words. The antonym of condemn is bless. In fact, in this list from Webster's Dictionary, there's one. The opposite of condemn, when the enemy's trying to bring you and say, you know, condemn you, all this stuff, you know, reject you, the opposite is bless. Instead of condemning somebody, the very opposite is if you bless them. Like, instead of condemning a building, they're going to cut the ribbon and bless it and say, "This, we're putting this into use." It's the very opposite. The enemy's going to try to say, "You're washed up, you're nothing, you're never going to make it." The very opposite is, God says, you can do all things. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's completely opposite. And that's what he says about us. The Bible said we should have how much condemnation?
None.
Because we're blessed. You can't. It's an antonym. It's opposite. You're either blessed or you're not. You can't be both. You're either blessed or you're not blessed. What the enemy tries to get you to do is say, well, it sure don't look like you're blessed. Who said anything about what it looks like? See, what's he trying to do? Don't look like you're going to whoop me. Why don't you open the door? This is the way it looks. This is exactly, it doesn't sound like so obvious. He's saying, what are you talking about? Yeah, great. He's preaching that, but you know where you are. That might work for some people. He might be telling you that right now. Yeah, it sounds good, but you don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know what I'm facing. It doesn't look like it. I've heard some of this before. It's not working. That's the enemy working on you, trying to get you to open the door and say, it's not going to work for me. I'm condemned. It's absolutely the way he works. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You say, no, I don't care what it looks like. God said, I'm not condemned. God said, I'm blessed. I'm going to speak what he said. I'm blessed. I'm not condemned. I'm blessed. Period. Some near antonyms of that. Approve. Now think of this. What does this paint for a picture? Approve. Instead of a condemned, you have the seal of approval. You're approved. You're approved, endorsed, sanctioned, exalt, extol. Notice these words. It's like pray. It's just lifting up. Whereas condemn is down. Exalt, extol, glorify, praise, acclaim. Acclaim. Sound a little different? This person's acclaimed. Not condemned. Applaud, commend, haul or hail, salute, tout, consecrate, sanctify, honor, revere, venerate. Glory to God. Those are the type of things that we're supposed to associate with ourselves in our position. And that's where we're supposed to walk. Because we're supposed to have how much of that other junk?
None.
Zero. Zero. Is that possible?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's possible. It's possible. God said it was possible. He said there's no condemnation. But what is it? Hinge on verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we think in line with the enemy, if we think wrong, it's death. But if we'll think spiritually in line with God, if we get this gourd right here renewed to what he says, then that's life and peace. If we're not experiencing life and peace, it's because we're not being spiritually minded. We're thinking naturally. We're looking naturally. We're walking carnally. That means naturally. We're looking at what we can see and feel and touch. Seeing is not believing. People say, well, seeing's believing. No, that's absolutely opposite. If you see, you don't have to believe. It's when you don't see, you need to believe. When it looks impossible, that's when you need to believe. That's called faith. You don't need faith. Well, I have faith that Deb's sitting right here. You look at me and go, good for you, Jim. You have faith. Mighty faith. But if she wasn't here, and I said, I believe she's coming, she said, I'm coming, that would be faith in her word that she's coming. Well, if God said something. If he said, you're blessed, and I don't see it, then I have to believe him and say, but that's true anyway. I believe it. Your flesh wants to say, I don't see it, I don't feel it, therefore this other must be true. I sure look condemned. I sure look tossed aside. I sure look like I just deserve to be in the garbage heap. Who cares what we look like? We got to make up our mind. Are we going to look at the natural and be carnally minded? Or are we going to be spiritually minded and look at the supernatural and what God said?
Come on, that's right.
In spite of circumstances. This looks bad. I want to cry. I want to say, Good night. It looks like it's all over. But God said I'm blessed, so I choose to agree with Him and I say I'm blessed.
That's right. That's right.
Period.
That's it.
Period.
That's
when we need to do it. You say, well, I want to feel better. Then I'll do it. That's wrong.
No.
When are we going to believe then? See, most people, a lot of people, are waiting to feel something and to feel better about themselves or to feel healing before they believe they're healed or they're emotionally set free or whatever. That's not faith.
That's right.
That's walking by sight. And that's why it doesn't work so often. People say, well, it didn't work for me. It doesn't work by wishing. It doesn't work by hoping. Well, it didn't work. I tried that. It doesn't work by trying. You say, no, this is true. I don't care what it looks like. I believe this, period. I believe what God's Word says now before I see it.
Right.
And it'll change. You watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ought to be our mindset. But that takes being spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Let's go down to 1 John. First John. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
First John 3, verse 18.
Amen.
It says, my little children, let us not love in word and deed, or word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth. 1 John 3, verse 19. That we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Notice verse 21, or verse 20. Let's read that again. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. Condemnation will steal your confidence.
That's right, it will.
If you feel condemned, it will steal your confidence, your ability to believe God. You may have the word, but if you won't have faith to use it. So you could have bazookas lined up, tanks, and you won't have the faith to pull the trigger. Because you don't feel like I don't have the right, which is a lie, but that's the way you feel, and if you give in to your feelings, you won't pull the trigger. Or you might feebly say something, but it doesn't work that way. The Bible says, believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. You don't just spout something off and say, well, see, it doesn't work. If you don't believe when you say it, it won't work.
That's right.
What's going to keep you from believing? One thing is condemnation. You don't feel like you have the ability to say it. You really don't believe it. Going through the motions isn't going to help. Well, I'll try it. We'll see. No, but you're feeling beat down, and I know I should have done that, and I didn't do that, and why did I do that? And all right, here we go. Leave in the name of Jesus. There was no faith there. None. None. Well, it should work anyway. That's not what the Word says. It doesn't say, just say it. It says, believe in your heart and say it. And what does he say right here? Whatever we ask, when we receive... See, he said, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. We believe. And he said, in that scenario, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. If you are in the position where you believe him and you feel confident, what you say, you get. So the enemy knows that, so he's going to try to come an end around and get you weak and feeble and not believing and feel like I can't really do it, so that he can cripple you. Hallelujah. That's what he does. But glory to God, God is bigger than the enemy. And we're not ignorant of his devices.
That's right. That's right.
So one thing. Let's see. Praise God. Let's go over to Philippians 3. I'm getting to something, but I got to read a little bit of this before we get to the main area I want to get to here. Philippians. Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind. Now, hold your finger there. Or actually, let's just look at a couple on your scripture sheet. Keep your Bible open. We read some of these last week or the week before, so we're not going to take time to turn to all of them, but I want you to lay your eyes on them. He said to forget those things that are behind. This is a key to living in no condemnation, with no condemnation. Let's look at Proverbs 28:13. It said, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Mercy. God's a merciful God. He said, "We blew it. We put it behind us. He said, we'll have mercy." 1 John 1:9 on your sheet says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Cleansed us. Look at Psalm 32. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave me the iniquity of my sin." Look at Psalm 103:11. It says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Look at Isaiah 43:25. It says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Amen. He said, I don't remember them.
Right.
Look at Isaiah 1:18. This is ammo. This is ammunition. We need to know what the word says. So when that liar comes knocking on your door, you say, no, shut up and leave. And then pull some triggers and blow him out of the water. You know, just knock him out. And he will run. Make no mistake, if you know who you are, the Bible says that he will flee from you. As in terror. He'll run down the road. Because you don't look like you. You look like the Holy Spirit, like God Almighty to him. He's already been whooped. And he's been whooped over and over by people that know who they are. So make no mistake, he is a coward, he's a liar, he's trying to intimidate you and get you to open the door and to cower away from him. But if you stand your ground and say, no, this is what the word says, and you go on the offensive, he's not going to mess with you. He's a coward, he doesn't want to fight. He wants to go around, slap you around and laugh at you like any bully. But if you stand up and say, no, get out of here, and you start letting him have it, he will run, as in terror. One, it's like, you know, to flee means to get some, to leave here to get someplace else. You know, if there was a building on fire and somebody pulled the fire alarm, people would leave. If you're sitting at work and the fire alarm goes off, people are going to leave their seats and flee. Now, if it's just a drill, people will be like, ah, whatever, I'm interrupted, you know. But if it's real and there's smoke coming out, people are, you make no mistake, they're going to get out of there and they're going to flee to get out of there. If there's a tornado coming down and people see it, most sensible people flee. You know, they get out of there. If it's right there, most people are going to flee to get to someplace else. That's the way the devil is with us. When you start telling him, he's like, I'm out of here. He's going to run away. Scared. Seriously. He's scared. Some of you guys are just looking at me. You believe that? You said, well, he hasn't been acting scared. That's because you're not standing up and telling him where he needs to go. You give him place and yield to him and open the door over and over, he'll knock you silly. And he don't look like he's scared of you. That's because he's not. Just no more than a bully is somebody he can take advantage of. But you stand up in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing your rights and tell him to go, he will run. He is scared. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to act on that. Because he's a coward. He is. He's a coward. Isaiah 1:18. It says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's telling Israel here, look, you messed up, but if you'll turn around. And verse 19, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He said, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So see, that's for people that are disobedient. If we say, no, I'm jumping on here, that's not in our future. So you don't let the enemy tell you, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. No, because I'm going after God. And he said, he'll say, but you did this and this. But we've read how many scriptures that you'll have mercy, that's not in your future. Romans 8, verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, that means you sin and you get death. And you sin and you get death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. That means I can mess up and still I can go forward.
Amen.
I said, no, that's behind me in my past. God's forgotten it, so I'm forgetting it.
That's right. Yeah, that's
good. Psalm 103:11. It says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great. Did I already read this one? I did. I put it up above. Got it in there twice. We'll read it again. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Hallelujah. How far is the east is from the west? Not counting a globe. You know, I mean, they just keep going that way. They don't touch. Now go back to Philippians. You still there? In your Bible? Now, look at this. Let's read that again then. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. He said, I haven't already made it. I'm not in heaven. I'm not already completely matured, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You forget what's behind. A practical way that you do this is don't bring up your failures. Don't talk about them. If you're going to confess anything, if you've confessed and you've said, Lord, I blew it. He said he would forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He said he forgives you. So if you're going to say anything after that, if you're going to confess anything, you say, God has forgiven me. God has removed that from me. God has forgotten. If the enemy comes to you and say, yeah, but you did that. Say, yeah, I did that, Mr. Devil. And God said, if I acknowledge it, he forgave me. So shut up and leave. Hallelujah. So don't go talk. This will make you weak and keep you in condemnation if you always talk about how you blew it. Well, I messed it up. Don't let it come out of your mouth. If you got it straight before God, don't bring it up. Don't say it. Don't go over and over. Don't let it come out of you. Well, you know you messed it. Yeah, I know I messed up. Don't do that. Don't bring up other people's. Don't say something. And you don't have to go around telling everybody else what you did wrong. That's right. You don't have to confess your sins to other people. That's right. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just trying to relate. You don't need to do that. You're condemning yourself by saying it. I'm not saying don't admit when you're wrong. That's different. If you went and did something to somebody, you need to go and say, I blew it. Please forgive me. But whether they forgive you or not is not your problem at that point. You can't make somebody. You've done what you're supposed to do. So now don't come back and say, you know, I really messed up. You already dealt with it. Don't go tell other people how you blew it in some other area. That just gives the enemy access to you to come and to knock you over the head. And gives them access in that person to look at you different.
That's right. It's not right.
To look at you and say, well, I know what they did. I know what they did. I know what you did. I have something on you.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Don't give the enemy that access. He'd love to. Just zip your lip when it comes. If you dealt with it with God, if the highest power in the universe has said, you're free, you're clean, I don't remember it, how does any created human being have the right to come up and say, you know what you did? The judge, the Almighty, has said, righteous, acquitted. I don't know what you're talking about. And somebody comes up and said, you know what you did? You're dealing with the Almighty then. That's dangerous ground. If he's acquitted, would anybody do that in the state of Massachusetts? You've been declared free and somebody's going to go into the judge and say, yeah, but I know what they did. They throw you out of court.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're out of order. They're out of line. Justice has been served. You have no place.
Right?
Right? So the enemy will come to you and say, yeah, but you know what you did. I know what I did, and I know what I did about it. Shut up and leave. You got to be right. That's when he comes up to your fortress, you tell him where to go. And start zipping your weapons at him.
Right.
Say, no, I know who I am. No, I'm confident.
Right.
And I'm submitted to, excuse me, to God.
Amen.
And so you have to go. He'll try to get you to say, yeah, but I know what you did. I don't have to go. See, this is the tipping point right there. Are you going to listen to it and say, well, I know. God, I know. And you're thinking about it, and then you go home and you tell your spouse, you know, I know we dealt with that, but I just really blew it there. And you start talking about it again. You know what you're doing? You're condemning yourself.
Right?
You're condemning yourself.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, there is something about voicing it. And voicing it to somebody else. You can feel pretty good and know, like, you know, no, it's gone. But I'm just going to talk about it anyway, and you bring it up.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying don't go off. If you got to talk about something with your spouse or a close friend, okay, talk through it. Somebody you trust. You know, if you need to get over that, to help you come to the conclusion that it's behind you. Okay, but as a rule, don't start going, don't drudge up, I really handled that bad. Really handled it poorly. You're condemning yourself. You're saying, I deserved bad. I deserve something. I don't deserve to be free. Because after all, I did such and such. You may not say it like that, but that's what your words are saying. And it's a tactic.
It is.
And you can get talked right out of what is yours.
Yep.
Nope. If we know what God has done, we look at the scripture and say, no, that's behind me. I'm going forward. Does that take faith? Yes, it does. Because in front of you, especially when some reminder of your mistake is in your life somewhere, you walk by it, somebody says it, you're just, yeah. It can be like that. But if you know who you are, you can forget it. I mean, you may still have the remembrance in here, but you deal with it. You're spiritually minded. When you see it, you process it in light of the Word of God and just let it go off.
Right.
I see that. Yeah, I did that, but I know what I did with it. It's behind me.
Amen.
And I'm going to go forward.
And
I'm going to go forward. And I'm going to keep going forward.
Right.
See, now you have confidence. And what did the Bible say? When you have confidence toward God, whatever you ask, you get.
That's right. That's
faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
That takes faith because you may not see it. You may see everything looks in front of you saying, you blew it. You have to deal with this mess. Okay? You may be dealing with some consequences right now, but God can turn it around. There is no mess that God, you put yourself in this position, the enemy, I tell you. You did this to yourself. Okay? You know? I did. I blew it. But I also took care of it. And God's bigger than this, and He's going to turn this around. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Turn over to Ephesians. I believe we'll close here. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Everybody there? Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed us. If God blessed us, we cannot be cursed.
That's right.
He's blessed us.
Right.
He's declared us fit for use. He's declared us acclaimed. He's praised us. He said, they're blessed. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved.
Yes.
We're accepted.
Yes.
We're blessed.
Amen.
That does not sound like condemned.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So we're either accepted and blessed, or we're condemned and doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. It's one or the other. So we say, no, I choose to agree with Him. I don't care. See, what He wants to do is disqualify you because of a circumstance. And when it doesn't look like it, we have to say, no, that may look like that, but I'm still blessed and I'm still accepted. So therefore, I'm going on.
That's right. Come on.
I'm going on. I will not open the door to you. I know what you're trying to do to me. I'm not going to open the door. Yeah, but you know what you did. I know what I did, but I also know what I did about it, and I know what Jesus did about it, so I'm going forward. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going forward, and I'm bold, and I know that I have the judge on my side. You going to take it up with him? Go talk to him. I'm done. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking loud. Glory to God. The Bible said, Paul said with a loud voice, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. That's because the devil wants to destroy us and get us to go crawling around as if we're nothing. And it's a lie. He doesn't want us to stand up and say, no. No. I'm going forward. Yeah, but no buts. You want to talk to somebody? Go talk to him. He's the righteous judge. And he knows he can't deal with that. He knows what the answer will be. So he flees. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.